Go to Luke. Luke chapter 4, verses 3 through 12. The temptation of the Lord, where Satan tempts Jesus, is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It is not found in John. Reason is the purpose of John is to show Jesus as God, and God cannot be tempted. The purpose of Matthew is to show Jesus as a king. Mark shows Jesus as a servant. And the book of Luke that we just read shows Jesus as the Son of Man. It shows his humanity as you read it. There are many lessons that can be learned in this passage. One, I want you to think, these temptations are not just done randomly. They're done in a specific order. When you read the book of Matthew, the temptation order changes. And that's, there's no contradictions in your King James Bible. You have the perfect, pure Word of God. Well, then how come it's not the same in Matthew 4 as we just read in Luke? Because it says the devil departed for a season. I don't think this is the only 40-day fast Jesus did. I think he fasted several times. I don't think this is the only time Jesus was tempted of the devil. I think Jesus was tempted several times. So in Matthew, they're in a different order than they are in Luke. We know there's no contradiction in your Bible. You got the pure words of God in your hand if you have a King James Bible. These temptations are in the same order. Can you take your Bible and go to 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, back there by Revelation. Near the back of your Bible there, a few books. 1 John, not John, 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse number 15. And God says here, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then look at verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So watch this. God tells us in the Bible, in the world or in the system or the cosmos that is established right now and the way things work, is when you're tempted, you're going to be tempted with the lust of your flesh first, the lust of the eyes, and then the pride of life. That is what is in the world. That is what you can expect. You can expect your flesh to be attacked. You can expect to what's pleasing to the eyes to be attacked. And then you can expect your pride to be exalted. So Jesus said in the Bible, those three things. So listen closely. Just those temptations, these three in order, is the same order that Eve was tempted in Genesis 3. We're not going to go there this morning, but listen closely. When the snake came, when the serpent came, the devil came to Eve, it says the woman saw the tree that was good for food. That was the lust of the flesh, good for food. Then it was pleasant to the eyes in Genesis 3. That was the lust of the eyes, like we just read in 1 John. And then it says it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. That's what? The pride of life. You will find in your Bible, whenever Satan tempts, it's normally three strikes, just like he did with Eve. You'll find that all through your Bible. And so you can expect Satan comes to the Lord Jesus and he tempts him in the same order, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man, but Jesus didn't live on this earth as God. He lived on this earth as man. Jesus lived on this earth as a spirit-filled man so he could do what? Be our example. If Jesus did everything as God, then we wouldn't have a chance at living the Christian life. The reason when you read the book of Luke, Jesus can be your example is because he was tempted like we are, yet without sin, as it says in Hebrews. He knows every temptation you'll ever be tempted with. Every temptation. Every weakness you'll ever face, Jesus faced, but he didn't face him as God. He faced him as man, felt the weakness, and yet never sinned. So he could do what? Help us when we're tempted. Help us when we're tempted. In other words, you can go to the, okay, I'm going to read you a verse, Hebrews 4:15, quoted a little bit of it. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That means anytime I'm tempted, I can go to the Lord in prayer and say, dear God, do you know what I'm going through? And God can say, return, I know exactly what you're facing. Aren't you glad? I know exactly how you feel. Dear God, it either hurts, or dear God, the pull is so strong, and I can go and ask God help because He's been there. He's faced it. He's hurt. He's been tempted. He's experienced that. Temptation is not wrong. It's not sinful. Jesus and every character in the Bible was tempted. And Satan will always throw temptations at us through people and predicaments and places. And it is what you do with the temptation that determines if it's sin or not. But being tempted isn't sinful. Giving in to the temptation is sinful. But Jesus here is not sinning. He is being tempted. James chapter 1 says, and you know what, why don't you take your Bible and go back to Luke 4 and just listen to me while I introduce this. But we're going to go back to Luke 4 and look at this. Luke chapter 4 verse 1. You need to understand, when you're tempted, your future is at stake. When you're tempted to sin, your future is at stake. Because it's how you respond to the temptation that makes it sin. You're going to Luke 4. Now just listen to me. In James chapter 1, verse 13, God says, let no man, when he is tempted, listen, when he is tempted, say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now listen closely. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So God says all of us are drawn away from the Lord, from people we love, and from our purpose in life. We're all tempted to leave that. Okay, we're all drawn away. That's what the devil does. Come on, come on, you can get just a little further, just a little further. And instead of thinking about what God's done for you and the people that love you and your purpose in life, the devil draws you away. It says here, we're fooled or enticed or deceived into doing something that will hurt us and those we love and damage our purpose in life. Sin gets its power by persuading me to believe that I'll be happier if I follow it. The power of all temptation, listen, is the prospect that if I do it, I'll be happier than if I don't do it. That's what the devil, have you ever heard this? All the devil's apples have worms. All the devil's chocolate bars have razor blades. All of them. And he says, come on, if you'll do this, you'll just be happy. And he doesn't tell you about the pain that follows. Because sin, there's a point. In all temptation, there's a point of no return when it is conceived, and there's a point of return to where things will not be as they were before the temptation. When you decide, have you ever noticed when you're tempted, the time that it takes you to say no is normally thinking about justifying why I can do this and why. When you train yourself and your character, here's a drink of liquor. Would you? No. The pause is never about doing right. The pause is always, well, I did used to do that. Here, would you like to smoke this joint? Would you like to do? The pause is always considering, can I get away with this? Will I get caught? That's what the pause says. The pause. And the devil's always trying to say, come on, you'll be happier if you do this. And yet, sin, okay, someone once said this, sin always takes you farther than you plan to go, keeps you longer than you plan to stay, and costs you more than you want to pay. Always. Always. The things that come from yielding to temptation rob you of what you could have had. Rob you of what you could have had. And, based on James chapter 1, death is the result of yielding to temptation. That's why God says, When you endure temptation or go through the trial successfully, you're blessed and you earn a crown in heaven. Listen to this verse, James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Our future is at stake. It's all determined by what we do when we're tempted. Remember, temptation is not a sin. What you do with the temptation determines whether it's sin or not. Now, you're in Luke chapter 4. Let's look at when our Savior was tempted here. You're in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 1. Watch this. Let's notice some things about this passage here, and you can take it and take it later and go look at it. I hope you go back over this. But look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, if you have a King James Bible, it's capital S. So when Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, he was led of the Spirit to be tempted. This sounds, would you think about this? God the Son was led by God the Holy Ghost to be tempted. It sounds strange, because what Jesus say in the prayer? We're supposed to pray, lead us not into temptation, right? That's a prayer we pray to the Lord, right? Matthew chapter 6. This is why the word tempt or temptation is interchangeable with the word tried. In other words, Jesus, we know God can't be tempted, but this was a trial for Jesus, right? It was a trial, and we know he comes through. The Lord does not protect or shield us from all temptation, so we have to know how to deal with temptation. God doesn't say, okay, now that you're saved, you'll never be tempted again. Temptation never stops. And if the Lord was tempted and was led of the Holy Spirit to be tempted, then what makes you think we're going to escape being tempted? That lets me know, to be a Christian, I have to learn to respond to temptation like the Lord Jesus did. Like the Lord Jesus did, if I'm going to be a successful Christian now that I'm saved. Watch this. So if God the Holy Spirit led God the Son into the wilderness, then there's going to be temptations or trials that the Holy Spirit is going to lead you into. And you know, let me just read this. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it's another verse. I think this is one of the hardest verses to memorize in the Bible. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 is an important verse. Listen closely. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That means all temptations are the same. Nobody in here faced anything this week that people for thousands of years have not faced. See, if the devil can get you thinking, well, nobody knows what I'm going through. How many times do you hear that? Nobody knows the pressure I'm... Well, first of all, God knows. Second of all, you're not... I promise, whatever you face next week or whatever you faced last week has been faced by thousands of... It's common to man. That's what the Bible says. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And then these beautiful words, but God is faithful, dependable. You can count on God, who will with the temptation, okay, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Look, God doesn't make you temptation free when you get saved. You know what God does? God protects you from an overload. God never lets you, you are never tempted with anything that you can't say no to. And if it's too much temptation, what did Satan have to do to God to get to Job? He had to say, well, yeah, Job loves you because you do this and this for him, but you let me do this to Job and he'll cuss you to your face, right? No, Satan had to get God's permission to afflict Job. And that tells me this, if you're saved, as long as you're doing what God wants you to do and you're where God wants you to supposed to, where you're supposed to be, Satan cannot tempt you without God's permission. You need to understand that. That means nothing You will face nothing as a child of God next week that God did not say yes to. And if it's too much, God will tell Satan they can't handle that right now. Isn't that good to know? God is faithful, who will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I just love that statement. If I'm tempted this week, God knew it was something I could say no to. I could say no. Now, the temptation, that's my choice, right? Whether I sin or not. But God never lets me be tempted with anything that would overload me. As long as I'm doing His will, okay? As long as I'm doing it. Now, with that in mind, you could sum up the whole passage of Luke 4 with verse 14 that says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit after He's tempted these three times. I want you to listen closely. If you are tempted and you deny your flesh and you're victorious, then you're made spiritually stronger. If not, you're made spiritually weaker when you give into the temptation. There's a song in your songbook, and I want you to turn to it. And turn to number 462. And I want you to just see this. Just keep your Bible open there and open your songbook. 462, there's a good old song. And we're not going to sing it this morning, but I wish people would pay attention to it when they sing it. It's good teaching. It's good doctrine. Watch this. 462, it says this. Verse number 1. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. And then look at the next phrase. Each victory will help you some other to win. So the more you say, no, I'm not going to do that, the stronger you become. You say, you pulled that from the songbook. That's not in the Bible. That's so many places in the Bible. I just love the doctrine of the song, how it says it. Each victory will help you some other to win. That's why the truth goes this way. If you could just discipline yourself and fall in love with God enough to say no to the temptation, next time it'll get easier. And saying no to that same temptation, it'll get easier. But when you go, yes, okay, I'll do it, and you give in, and you give in, and you give in, you don't become spiritually stronger. You don't become spiritually strong. I love the songs. I love the old songs and the doctrine. You can take and put that up. Listen closely now. Jesus here in Luke and Matthew is led of the Holy Spirit to be tempted because it was the start of His earthly ministry. There was the first Adam, you got to listen now, there was the first Adam in the Garden of Eden. Then Jesus came as the last Adam, or the second Adam from above, as it says in the hymn book. Adam was made in the likeness of God. Jesus Christ was made, it was the image of the invisible God. All right, says that in Hebrews. Listen, Jesus Christ came to redeem us from the curse that was brought by Adam's disobedience. The Old Testament opens with man being tempted in the Garden of Eden. The New Testament opens with a man being tempted in the wilderness. Okay? In other words, okay, Adam was tempted in the Garden of Eden. Jesus was tempted in a barren wilderness. Both were tempted at the hands of the devil. The devil was in both places. Both Adam and the Lord Jesus were tempted on the grounds of humanity. Jesus came to face temptation the same way Adam did. In the garden, the temptation was to eat something forbidden, the fruit of the knowledge, the tree of good and evil. In the wilderness, the temptation was to eat something in a forbidden way. Adam faced temptation, listen now, in a place of comfort and companionship. Jesus faced temptation in a place of barrenness and loneliness and need and unrest. Adam had all he wanted to eat and gave in to eat the fruit that he didn't need. Jesus had nothing to eat for 40 days and in a desolate wilderness, surrounded by wild beasts, refused the food he so desperately needed. You see the difference? Listen closely. This comes beautifully to an end. Adam faced the devil in the best possible place, under the best possible circumstances, and failed. The Lord Jesus faced the devil in the worst place possible, under the worst circumstances, and won. Jesus Christ was the last Adam, the one who assumed our humanity and lived the life we could not live, and died the death that we deserved, and he did it for us to make salvation possible. Jesus stood where Adam fell, and Jesus recovered what Adam lost. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Knowing that Jesus is the second Adam. That's why he's called that. Can you take your Bible? How come he had to be tempted then? How come he's led of the Holy Spirit? Hey, you're there in Luke. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. So why would the Holy Spirit of God lead God the Son into the wilderness to be tempted? Why? Why? God tells us why in Hebrews chapter 2. Watch this, Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews 2:16, for verily, or truthfully, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Now listen closely, I'll explain these. But Jesus came to defeat the angel. Who's the angel? Satan. Jesus came to defeat the angel, Satan, that fell from heaven. And the works of the devil, but Jesus didn't take on the devil's nature. Jesus took the nature of us, those who were captive to the devil. All right, he took the nature of us, the captive. Now look at verse 17. Wherefore, in other words, because of that, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And then look at verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. The word succor there means help or assist. Why did God the Spirit lead God the Son into the wilderness to be tempted? So that he could be tempted and suffer like we suffer, so when we're tempted, we would have somebody to pray to. He could say, handle it like I handled it. I've been where you're at. I'm with you the whole time. Let me help you. And Jesus, every time we're tempted, glory to God, he's there to help us if we let him help us. If we'll run to him, here's what's beautiful. The only one that knows you and understands you. Don't run from him. Amen? Run to him. And he says, I'll help you, or I'll secure you, or help and assist you. Isn't that beautiful? So why was he led to be tempted? So he could help us. Look at verse 14, since you're there in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Just go over a couple of chapters. And look at verse 15. And I want you to see this for yourself. Ready? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Watch this. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Jesus can help us and assist us because of the temptation. Now, I want you to go back to Luke. Go back to the book of Luke there. While you go back there, listen closely. As God the Son was filled with God the Holy Ghost and was led to be tempted, temptation does not always come, then listen closely, temptation doesn't always come when you're away from God. Think about it. Luke chapter 4 verse 1 says, when he was full of the Holy Ghost, he was led of the Spirit to be tempted. Now, in just a little bit, I'm going to show you when Jesus was hungered and weak, the devil came to him. But notice verse 1, temptation many times comes to you. You don't have to be backslidden to be tempted. Many times temptation comes to you when you're the closest to God. You can be at your utmost godly point and still be tempted. God doesn't halt temptation because you're close to him. If anything, you getting close to the Lord Jesus would mean you could successfully handle more temptation. Instead of, my son's close to me, you got to get a temptation, get away. No, sometimes God says, I want to make you stronger with the temptation. So, just because you're in church doesn't mean you're in a tempt-free zone. Amen? Listen closely. Temptation can come to you after your most spiritual moments. After your morning devotions, you can immediately be attacked by Satan with doubts and dirty thoughts and discouragements. Temptations can come right after church, when you've been stirred by God to serve Him. Sometimes it's right after God touches your heart to move forward in your Christian life and grow, and Satan may immediately throw a temptation your way. When you say, I'm sick of how I've been living, and I'm going to change this part of my life, and I'm going to do what God says in this area of my life. The moment you make that decision, that's when you're tempted, and the devil goes, uh-oh, I'm getting ready to lose one. So he does what? He throws more things your way. Careful. In other words, right after a spiritual decision can be a time of temptation. Be careful, Christian. You see, here, the passage also says, the devil left him for a season. There'll never be a day when you're not going to be tempted, or a week, or a month. Or if you think, whew, boy, I was tempted last week. Okay, now, next, I'm waiting for 2019's temptation. No, you're nuts. You're going to be tempted tomorrow. You're going to be tempted next week. Temptation never stops until we get to heaven. Amen? So we learn how to handle it. We learn to respond to it. Okay, listen to this encouraging verse before we go to Luke 4:2, where I had you go. Just listen. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God knows how to deliver you and help you if you'll just look to Him. If you want a way out, there's a way out. There's a way out. That's how come... Have you heard the old statement, if you're willing to face what you are, that's the first step, but until you're willing to face what you are, there's no hope. I had a long time ago, an alcoholic came to our church, and they were having DTs, shaking. I said, are you ready for detox? No, I'm not. I said, until you're ready to do what you're supposed to do, I said, I can't help you. And by the way, God can't help you either. He wants to, but that's your choice. That's your choice. Do you understand? It's our decision. That's why I'm trying to encourage you this morning as a Christian. No, run to the Lord. He wants to help you, but you have to choose it. It has to be a choice. God doesn't go, God waits over in a corner like this. God says, when you're done playing, I'm here. When you're done. And if you ain't done, play on. Have it your way. Da da da. You'll hear me say that again here in just a second. Okay. In Luke chapter 3, Jesus is baptized of John the Baptist, which was the beginning of his 3.5-year ministry on this earth. The Holy Ghost descends on him. This is in Luke 3. This is in the chapter right before us. And descends on him and fills the Lord Jesus and then leads him into the desert to be tempted. Temptation usually follows a spiritual victory. Jesus just heard the voice of his Father speaking to him, and now the voice of Satan is speaking to him in Luke chapter 4. This shows how quickly we can go from a time of blessing to a time of trial in our life. That fast. That fast. You mark it down. As soon as you get saved, Satan tries to make you doubt if you're God's child or not. Are you really saved? That's the devil. Immediately after you're baptized and you join a church, Satan comes after you. When you determine you're going to spend time with God and walk with God every day, Satan comes after you. As soon as you start doing your best to witness for the Lord and invite people to church, Satan throws fiery darts of doubt. One thing you learn about the devil, he never stops trying to get your flesh to lead you to self-destruct. That's one thing you learn about Satan. Luke chapter 4, verse 2. We've looked at verse 1. Look at verse number 2. Ready? Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward and hungered. So I believe here, first of all, verse 1 tells me temptation will come to you when you're at your strongest, and verse 2 says when Jesus was afterward, or weak, and hungry. They say at day 40, that's the longest any human should ever fast, because once you fast past 40 days, your body starts eating itself. It's very dangerous. Most people, there isn't a medical doctor there. Sometimes a 40-day fast is good. It's always good for you, but never go past 40 days. Jesus is at day 40, and his body is at its weakest. All he's had is water. All he's had is water, and now at his weakest point, physically, the devil comes to him and tempts him. Could I just use verse number 2 this morning to tell you, could you please watch your vulnerable areas? If anger is your easiest falling place, then be careful. I appreciate people that know themselves well enough to say, my button's getting ready to be pushed. I don't need to be around this person. I don't want to explode. I don't want to lose my Christian testimony. Right? They know their weaknesses. I can't be pushed like this. I need to leave. Well, it beats blowing up. Right? Beats losing it. Very good. Wise decision. You ought to know your weaknesses. You've fallen there enough. Then if that's a weakness to you, then learn how to avoid it. Learn how to avoid it. If you step on the same crack and it broke last time, I promise you, you step on it again, it's going to break again. I know we've heard it, but Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That's insane. You can't do that. If it broke before, it's going to break again. Well, where I got drunk before, okay, then stay away from that. Then stay away from it. Avoid it. Avoid it. Know your weakness. If gambling, laziness, finances, credit cards, alcohol, drugs, rebellion, disrespect to authority, lying, boasting, pride, bitterness, guard your vulnerable places. Everybody in here has weaknesses. I have weaknesses. I have things that I appreciate. We were going bar preaching one time, and one of the men in the church where we were at, he said, Pastor, I'll pray for y'all, but I can't go into the bars. I'm an alcoholic. I'm recovered. I haven't drunk for 5 years. I said, that's very wise. You stay here. You pray for us. We'll go preach in the bars. Amen. Good decision. Good decision. Somebody said, yeah, we're gonna go preach down at the beach. You know, me, I don't think I could do that. I'll go street preaching, but I'm not preaching at a beach where people are in colored underwear. You say, well, you ought to be able to just look towards heaven and proclaim the word of God. I need to be somewhere else. I don't need to be where people are in their underwear. Amen? I need to be, I would prefer to hand out gospel tracts where people are fully clothed. Amen? You say, why? That's just me. That's just me. And I wouldn't tell anybody, well, you shouldn't be doing that. I'll just say, I can't do that. No. I don't think anybody could come to me right now. My weakness is not... they're getting ready to legalize marijuana in November, the elections. What a stupid move. But anyways, marijuana is not a weak point to me. If somebody came, hey, want to do the Bill Clinton thing? You know, just tell everybody you didn't inhale. Go ahead. That wouldn't tempt me. Drugs is not a weak point to me. But everybody in here, self-included, has a weakness. And you ought to know it enough to stay away from it, because that is where the devil is going to hit you. Then go ahead, put the sandbags up. Fortify it. Put the bricks up. Don't just, well, that's my weak spot. Well, then do something about it. Know yourself. Learn yourself. The devil will hit you there. That's the angle he's coming. You guard that area the closest. If Satan, because Satan is going to use your weakest point to exploit your God-given needs to tempt you to live for you. All right, now look at Luke chapter 4. Look at verse 3. Let's keep working our way through this passage. Watch this. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Wow. When he's afterward and hungered, when he's the hungriest. Many times, you know, when you're fasting, you know, you're watching the clock. If I'm going to miss 2 days or if I'm going to fast for 4 days, it's like, and your stomach's tickling, your belly button's tickling your spine. And it's like, oh, I can't. Can you imagine 40 days? And then Satan tells Jesus, go ahead and turn the rocks into bread. Fresh baked bread. Fresh baked sourdough bread with butter running off of it. Who knows? Jesus could have done anything, right? He could have turned the bread into anything. Have you noticed? Remember in 1 John, it says, the temptations are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This first temptation is the lust of the flesh. He's so hungry. And Satan says, turn the stones into bread. You can turn them into anything you want. Satan's temptation is to always to try to get you to do something that makes you look good or feel good instead of glorifying God? What's the first words out of his mouth? If thou be the Son of God. Satan tempts Jesus by saying, look, 40 days ago you were declared the beloved Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, right? And then the Holy Spirit came down. You got the Trinity there, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son getting baptized, and God the Father speaking from heaven. Satan is saying, if you're who God says you are, why are you hungry? Use the power that is available to you and produce some bread. Can you imagine? Here's Jesus in the wilderness, and Satan says, Israel was given manna here every morning in the wilderness for 40 years. You're here in the wilderness. How come you're hungry? Later on, Jesus would feed others with his divine powers. He'd turn the 5 fish and the 3 loaves into a meal for 5,000 and 7,000. So he would basically do the same thing. He would supernaturally make food. How else do you want to put in it? That's a video I want to see when we get to heaven. Put the fish and the bread. You know there's only 5. I'm going to just watch the fish. But as he puts it on the bread and breaks it, it says he just kept breaking it for 5,000 people. Watch the bread, 3 loaves. How do you do that? Oh, there's another one. I don't know how it's going to work. I just know later on, Jesus supernaturally created food. Yet he didn't do it here, but he's being tempted to do it. Turn the rocks, which are everywhere, into fresh baked bread. Turn the rocks into bread. How come Jesus didn't turn the rocks into bread at this point? Listen closely. Because at this point in his life, God wanted Jesus empty and hungry. Satan tempted Jesus to put his physical needs above his spiritual needs and to put his desires against God's desires. Satan doesn't want us to trust God for our needs. Satan always tries to get you and me to do the same thing. Put your physical needs above your spiritual needs. Instead of giving in, Jesus used the same resources he expects you and me to use when we're tempted to live in the flesh. Look at verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. What are you supposed to do when the devil comes to you and tempts you to put your physical needs above your spiritual needs? Quote the Bible. Now, the scripture Jesus quoted said, I can get meat anywhere, but I have to have the Bible. Listen to how Jesus answered Satan. I know Jesus is the living word, but listen closely to what he said. He's saying, I need the Bible more than I need anything else. I need the Word of God more than I need physical food. Can I tell you, Christian? Jesus wasn't an extremist and he wasn't wacko. He's teaching us how to answer Satan. Can I tell you this morning? Your greatest need is the Word of God. It's the Bible. No, but physically I need this and I need your spiritual needs are more important. And if you'll put God first, the physical follows. But the physical is never supposed, your body's never supposed to tell you what to do. Your spirit is supposed to tell you what to do. You're never supposed to make a decision based on how you feel. My body is not supposed to tell my spirit what to do. My spirit is supposed to tell my body what to do. Get out of that bed, boy. Get to work. You lazy good for nothing. You ever talk to yourself? Am I the only ding-dong in here? Get out of that bed, boy. You got a whole lot of quitting. You get knocked the fire out. You ever get hard on yourself? You have to. If you let your flesh run your life, you'll self-destruct and destroy yourself. Jesus' answer to Satan, he's teaching me how to respond the way he responded. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You need the Bible more than you need anything else. If that's an extremist answer to you, then you are a candidate for a fall. A humble, tender, close Christian to God says, when I'm closest to that book and I love that book the most, that's when I thrive as a Christian. And when I'm away from that book, and it's, if I get time, I'll read it, and if not, who cares? Then yeah, you're pray for the devil. And he gets to, ding, ding. You're like, you're the devil's carnival ground. Ding, you know. He just plinks you all day long. Ding. Ba-ding. Doesn't it say that? Taken captive by him at his will. Whose will? Satan's will. You're the devil's chew toy. He comes and plays with you when he wants to. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If I take this morning, Jesus is trying to show us how badly we need the Word of God. Jesus shows us in all three of these temptations that if you'll submit to the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you and let Him fill you and make use of the power that the Holy Spirit provides, you can have victory over temptation. Because we can receive the same help and power that Jesus did if we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit that lives within us once we get saved. The power to combat Satan's lies is the truth of the Word of God. Our yieldedness to God's Word as our authority helps us see the spirit of error so that we can defeat it. Satan doesn't want you using the weapon God's given you to fight the devil. The Word of God is a two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrows, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What I'd like you to point out this morning is in let's make this the last verse we go to. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll continue these temptations at another time. We made it through the first temptation this morning, but let's end this morning with Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse number 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Christian, put your armor on. Wherefore ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So Satan is always shooting at you. That's what it says. Always shooting fiery darts. And the only thing that extinguishes them is the shield of faith, your trust in God. Above all. In other words, if you don't put anything else on, above all, take the shield of faith that'll quench the devil's fiery darts of what? Doubt. Doubt. You can't live the Christian life. You're not saved. You can't do this. You can't be victorious. And he's constantly shooting at you, and it is your faith that extinguishes the arrows. It's your faith, above all, taking the shield of faith and then watch this. Wherewith you should be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, and then notice this, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Your Bible is your sword, sheathed. But when you unsheath it, is when you open it and use it. And the sword of the Spirit is when you open your Bible and you use it to fight with. In other words, when I'm tempted to lose my temper, Ephesians 4, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I take and memorize scripture on my weakness. Hold it. Hold it. Look, I've wanted to bite people's heads off. I've always heard this. If you don't have a temper, you got tired blood. Honestly, I don't know a hardworking man that doesn't have a temper. You got to have some drive about you. You understand? Unless you're one of those sign holders all day. You know, slow, stop, slow. those guys, I think, can take Dramamine and still get a paycheck. You know, they got the talk in there. Okay, turn the sign. Okay, I don't know how much longer I can do this. Anyway, we just got off the road, so I saw those. What I'm trying to tell you is I don't know a man that works hard that doesn't have a temper problem. The way you keep from losing it is you memorize scripture to help you. And you use the sword of the Spirit. If your weakness is lust, then memorize Matthew 5:28. He that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. If you struggle with lust and looking at things you shouldn't look at, then memorize Bible verses on the temptation. Use the sword of the Spirit, or the point, to point at specific sins. That's using the sword of the Spirit. That's unsheathing it and using it to fight with. Take the sword of the Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit. If you're scared, memorize Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am the Lord thy God. All these verses, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If you struggle with negative, critical thinking, then memorize Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I needed that verse. I memorized that not because somebody told me to. I found that and I said, look at that. So now I have a checklist in my mind. If it's not true and holy and just and pure, that's my checklist. Then quit thinking about it. Amen? Think on these things. Whatever you struggle with, find a Bible verse to combat the weakness. You say, who taught you that? Jesus did. When he said, it is written. It is written. That's how he fought the devil. And can I tell you something? You're not going to beat the devil with your methods. You'll beat the devil with the Word of God. Christian, all of us are tempted. This morning's message is called The Temptations of the Lord Jesus, and I wanted to go through all of them with you. We don't have time. We'll stop here. I might continue them tonight, or we'll do it in a part two. I'm just trying to tell you this morning, Jesus taught us how to respond to temptation. And you can have victory. You can live a victorious Christian life, but we need to learn from the Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning.